Hello and welcome to another episode of Autosave. My name is Nick Andrade and I'm here with my co-host Camille Salazar Hadaway. And on this week's episode, we continue our dive into Halo Infinite campaign. However, this is our last episode of the campaign, not our last episode of Halo Infinite. We are going to do our final episode, episode 10, on multiplayer because it is a big part of the Halo universe. You can't play Halo unless you play the multiplayer. However, this is our last episode for the campaign, so everything is coming to a head. Cam, are you excited to finally find out what the hell is going on?
I mean, I'm ready. I'm willing. I was willing at the beginning of the game to be clued in. But, you know, 14 chapters later, we're good. I'm ready to, like, finally know how things come together, especially with the Harbinger, because I thought she'd be more in your face than she has been so far.
Well, on last week's episode,
Chief, you shouldn't have come for me.
Microgravity wells are putting enormous stress on his body.
I told you that I would not kill him.
Leave me. Run!
We'll get you out of here.
No. You will try.
Chief, he's here.
He knows I'm here. This was never a trap. It is a test of metal. Our battle ends here.
Get him out of there.
On it.
Bear witness. Our story will become legend, told by those that survive you.
That's right, we finally battled Eshrim, and we clobbered him, by the way. I might have done a very inappropriate squat on his face after I killed him.
Did you teabag him?
I teabagged him and then I just kept punching him in the face.
That's horrible. That's horrible. I like how we talk about, oh man, we could actually see it from Eshrim's side. We're so empathetic towards like what he's going through. We really see the mirroring of Master Chief. And Nick's just like, oh, I'm going to teabag this guy. Because apparently what that's telling me, Nick, is that you would teabag Master Chief?
I would 100% teabag Master Chief. Why not? Who cares?
Oh, I'm like, because you're sad because they died. But I could see death means nothing to you, Nick.
But the amount of times that I died at the hands of Eshrim is why I teabagged him.
Because
enough was enough. I finally did it and I deserved a teabagging of Eshrim variety.
Okay. That's fair.
So even though he died, he mentioned that most likely another banished will take his place and we'll probably have to do this all over again. But we save Echo, and guess what? It's time to head over to the Silent Auditorium, which we know nothing about. But in this week's episode, of course, we covered the final mission, Mission 15. What do you think it's called? It's, of course, called the Silent Auditorium. Cam, are you satisfied up until this point of the game? I am and I'm not. If that makes sense, I want to know what your opinion is.
You know what? I'm on that same vibe. I think the last two missions we went through, I was very satisfied with how things ended with Eshrim and like just how they developed that character. But at the same time, because we're also being teased by these different things like the Silent Auditorium, I'm kind of like, but I would have been good with just Eshrim. Like, I don't think I needed anything other than Eshrim. And because they kept teasing this and you still have no idea what this is, who the Harbinger is, it's getting old.
I agree. I wish Eshrim was the final boss battle. Not in the way that we fought him, but maybe it escalated a little bit more. It was a little bit more dramatic. I took a note of this, but like I've been saying it in my mind and I've been writing it every time on these notes, the Silent Library, which it is not the Silent Library, but I wanted to ask you if you remember that show back in the day, Silent Library. I'm guessing by your face that I see on Discord, you have no idea what that show is.
What is Silent Library? Now I have to look it up. Like, just a show that, like, someone just, the librarian just shushes you all the time.
No,
like,
it's even funnier. It was first a Japanese game show where the contestants had to do, like, these weird punishments, but they had to be quiet while this was happening to them. So, and then it expanded into the United States where they did their own Americanized version of it. But it was hilarious. Both versions were hilarious because, like, you would get, like, pummeled. Like, let's say, like, you're with six people. You know what I'm talking about then? You know what I'm talking about.
I just Googled it. If you Google Silent Library... and you see the image of it. Yes, I remember this. I remember the Americanized version. I remember the main host, I guess.
You know, I don't remember the host.
Yeah, I remember the host. His face is very familiar. But it's literally, they're in a library at a desk and they have to do all these random things. Was it an MTV show? I feel like it was, right?
It was. It was an MTV show. Yeah. But I always wanted to be on that show because they would make me cry of laughter. Like, it was so stupid of a concept. I'm not going to keep going with this conversation because we do have to get to Halo. But for anyone who knows MTV, like Camille says, early 2000s MTV shows, look up Next if you haven't. Next was a great show. Weird dating show, but Camille maybe has to look that up later. But look it up. Maybe find some episodes on YouTube. All right, producer Dylan's probably looking at his watch right now.
Like, what is the show?
We reminisce about
old time. What did Autosave just go through?
So, question of the day for you. I thought of something that I thought was interesting, but if you could create your own iteration of Halo, who would you have Master Chief go up against in a full campaign? Do you want to see old characters? Do you want to see old enemies that might be your favorite? Or do you want something new or a super spinoff? I have a nice answer, but I wonder what yours is.
I just like the idea with space. Like, so again, Star Trek nerd, love space, like sci-fi.
Yes.
I like when they incorporate horror into that. So I would love to see a Resident Evil spinoff with Halo, ooh, which would pretty much be Dead Space. So Master Chief in Dead Space. Yeah,
that's true. That would be good, though. I like that idea. And it does. I think it still goes into the theme of Halo. It just would be a little bit more, you know, rated, scarier, more for
teenagers.
Yeah,
with the flood, like...
Yes.
If the flood was like that real scare factor and they played into that because it just kills everything in its path, then that would be so cool.
My answer is Mass Effect, a crossover with Halo and Mass Effect, because as I've played this game, again, this is my first ever Halo game that I have played. It's given me a lot of Mass Effect vibes, which I'm a huge fan of, but there's characters like the Forerunners. This advanced civilization, it's very similar to what it is in Mass Effect, where humans became part of the universe because they found this technology that was already made. So it's kind of the same thing here with the Forerunners and the humans and everything like that. I think Halo would go hand in hand with that. And Commander Shepard versus Master Chief, I think would be something super cool to look at. So that's my answer.
Oh, that's really cool. I like that. I like that.
But that's it for questions of this variety in our Halo series. I'll come up with next questions for our new game. After the break, we get into the final mission of Halo Silent Auditorium. Let's see what the Harbinger is up to.
Cortana died.
What do we call her?
She's
right, so we finally get some answers, sort of, I guess. The auditorium, which is what it's not actually called, although Weapon doesn't really say what it is, but that is where Weapon locked Cortana down, and that is where she died. So,
okay.
Okay, go for it. Let's go. You look very passionate.
This is right my now. Thing, all right? Weapon, I've been with you this whole time, but now I'm kind of like, you're kind of giving me Echo vibes because you're telling me, you keep talking about how you were supposed to kill Cortana and how somehow, like, you know, you didn't survive that. And you don't remember where you were that whole time. Like, not once in the game does she say, oh, I have no idea where I was that whole time. She just says she has no idea why she didn't die along with killing Cortana. So my thing is, like, the walls don't seem familiar. No one else referenced this place as a silent auditorium. Come on, Weapon. I'm putting you in the corner with Echo. We should have left you.
And especially, like, I agree. But, like, she's an AI. Was her memory wiped? Like, what exactly? I don't know. I can't buy this whole Cortana died off screen. Atriox died off screen. Like, we don't even know what happened to them. And it's not even like they died in the last game. Why did they do this where they decided to kill these characters off for no one to see? Did they have a spin-off comic book or something?
There's 5 unreleased endings to the game.
We'll find out, I guess. We'll know a little bit more now what the Silent Auditorium is. Probably not a good thing that Cortana has died here, but we get inside, and that means we have to slay a bunch of enemies. And as we get through here, we hear some more whispers from Cortana. She says, I tried to stay hidden, but there was no escape. He cornered me, wrapped me tight, and brought me close. It was almost sounds a little bit too romantic. I don't really know, like, these whispers. Is she talking about John? Is she talking about...
She tried to escape Master Chief.
Yeah, what exactly is going on here?
I have no idea. It's weird phrasing for sure for Cortana. I don't know why they chose that.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm thinking of it's like Atriox, it seems kind of uncomfortable. But speaking of Atriox, we then get a cutscene with Cortana and the big beast.
I learned so much, Cortana. This ring is different. It has secrets within that I will have. This silent auditorium. Do you know its history? Its true purpose? I have little need for a failed god. This ring is all I need. Surrender it to me.
Again, a silent auditorium from Atriox, where I'm pretty sure he's telling all the brutes, all the grunts, yo, I'm in the silent auditorium, don't bother me. It's me and Cortana, you know, I'm going to really interrogate her. Cortana knows the reference, silent auditorium. None of this was apparent to Weapon. I don't know.
Honestly, I agree with you here, and I'm really confused. We've been hearing about this silent auditorium and its powers and the ring and its powers for this entire game. And we still have no answers, but we keep getting the same cutscenes over and over explaining that the ring has power, that the silent auditorium has some sort of power. At some point, you got to reveal something. Anyway, we see the adjutant resolution once again. Thank God we don't have to fight him again. I'm so sick of fighting. Oh, you know what? I'm being too mean. It was okay, boss battles.
It is okay. A little different.
Yes.
A little different. Give the put some respect on his name, okay?
I want Xbox to, like, come back to us, so we can't trash Halo 2 hard right now.
No,
and I know you have a relationship with them. So.
Well, no, we still give our honest opinions of the game, right? And I yes. actually enjoyed the adjutant, but I'm really getting ticked off, like you said, that I don't know what the silent auditorium is. And that Weapon didn't know what this was.
But guess what? You were rewarded with those questions with Cortana and Atriox with another cutscene. With Cortana and Atriox.
It is time for you to make your choice.
I have. Thank you, Atriox. You helped me. You really did. Would you humor me? If you knew how you were going to die, how would you live your life differently?
I would change nothing.
Perfect. Thank you.
What are you doing?
Making things right.
Was her. She destroyed the ring, stopped my deletion. Why?
This is a good cutscene, okay? Let's just say this is a good cutscene because you get that reveal. I don't think we needed the cutscene before it, though. Like, this could have came easier and I think had a more impactful moment for anyone playing through it. Because you're right, I think at this time I'm a little bit tired with it. And I think when you're tired and you're not getting answers, you start to put things together. So I kind of figured Cortana had something to do with the rings. And now I know she willfully destroyed the ring.
Yes.
Not surprised. But like she just had an epiphany?
Are you not surprised that she changed her mind based on the last game? Based on like what would you give you that impression?
I guess maybe I just wanted a little bit more into what would make this switch? Because I understand her seeing John, which we learn in this game. She sees John floating and she asks John to forgive her. But I still feel like we don't necessarily have the answer to what made her like change in that sense. Like she realizes that the ring has all this power, more power than anyone could have imagined. But I just feel like she would have been more determined for her cause rather than just like, that's it. I lost. End game.
We saw earlier in the game her destroy the banished planet. We saw her kind of like be a badass all the time. And then all of a sudden, I guess Atriox holds some sort of power or wants to find out the secrets of the ring. And she either knows what that secret is or she doesn't want him to get it. But again, the epiphany doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I got the sense she knows what it is. And she knows if it was in the banished hands, it would be like used for wrong. Or maybe I'm jumping to that conclusion, but that's what I kind of figured. But I just feel like that wasn't clearly shown in this. Like, the reasoning, that switch, because it was totally badass of her, although it's horrible what she did, that she killed the banished planet, that then she just goes back on it. It was just hard for me to believe that choice.
Clearly, she knows what what this power is. I guess she's stalling something by destroying the ring. She's sacrificing herself. Is there any emotional value from this? Because I don't think there is. And for someone who's played Halo, is there?
Knowing that she wasn't bad, or like knowing that she was still on the side of John and like still kind of cheering for him in a sense by sacrificing herself, I think that does bring up a little bit of emotion as someone who's played Halo or some of the Halos. I think for fans as well, just that mystery of like what happened to her, you get that resolution now. Like, you know what happened because they teased that at the beginning of the game, she was supposed to die, but then Weapon survived. So then you were like, huh, is Cortana alive? So it gives that kind of peace of mind, like that you know what happens. But I feel like I'm not quite satisfied yet. Like, I think I wanted more with Cortana's story here.
Speaking of that, too, we find out that Cortana is the reason why Weapon is still alive from the beginning of the game. She was not deleted because of Cortana, and she knew that a copy of herself would help John in the end is what she wanted, and that she knew that John needs her more than anything in order to complete these missions or survive or be the hero or whatever the heck.
A little. little Halsey of Cortana. A little Halsey of Cortana. I mean,
I agree.
The guy was floating and you could have tried to save him. And you're like, peace. No, I'm just being a troll. But I feel like I get why. Because she needs the knowledge she has. But she also wants to protect, I guess, that knowledge, which is why she also gave Weapon amnesia. Everything.
Yeah, I guess.
So I get it. It's really, again, touching because their relationship was really, really interesting for the Halo games that I played. But I did like that reveal as well as like, you know, you're hearing the last thing Cortana is asking Atriox is if you knew you were going to die, would you change anything? That's like the first thing, one of the first moments, true moments from Weapon that we hear. So I like that full circle moment.
Yes.
That was really good. I like that.
I agree too. I was like, oh, I was like a Leo DiCaprio meme where I was like, oh, that's it right there. I heard that one. I know.
Yeah. And the snapping thing, that was cool too. The reveal, like, because that's something Cortana.
Super. I really like that one as well. Again, there's some great moments in this game. Maybe we're being a little bit too nitpicky. I don't know, but we'll keep going. And we go to the area where Cortana sacrificed herself. It's this really cool golden area. It's wide open, so you know what that means. Something is about to go down.
The Silent Auditorium. Forerunner, obviously. It appears to be... Oh, no.
What is it?
It's a courtroom, a prison, a place of execution. All these things together. Why?
To cover their sins, we stood silent, unable to speak as they passed judgment.
We could not defend ourselves. We could not reason with them.
Something's sending a signal. Before you ask, I'm already tracking it.
Hear this, Forerunners. Your auditorium has fallen. The endless bow. Your sins undone. Today we return.
Oh, Nelly. Wait, before we get into the boss fight, I wasn't sure when to mention this, but this is where she says the Endless are found and the auditorium has been destroyed. Like, what does exactly that mean?
I guess, like, when you hear what Cortana was saying with, like, the auditorium, it's a courtroom, it's, like, a place of judgment. I guess the Endless were judged by the Forerunners and banished.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was piecing together.
I love that. I had no idea. I didn't even put that two and two together. This is like straight up Superman 2 vibes.
Yeah, because I was thinking about General what the Harbinger Zod. Said when we... General Zod. The Harbinger said, they're just frozen.
In a mirror, sorry. Anyway, continue.
In a mirror. So I was thinking about what Harbinger said when we first met her. And she was saying how, like, she's better than the Forerunners, right? So there's some animosity between the Endless, her people, and the Forerunners, Avi.
Are they even her people, though? Are they?
The Endless? I think so. Yeah, because I feel like she introduced herself.
I don't even know. Did she?
Obviously, Nick's lack in memory is because we just haven't seen the Harbinger enough. To really, I feel like that is also like one of the things that I wish we had, just more Harbingers. So then we're able to connect those dots because we're focusing on our Atriox, Eshram, the Banished. Oh, now the Endless, right? So it like took a back seat. But yeah, the reveal because she had that animosity with the Forerunners. So the Forerunners, I guess, banished the Endless here and locked them up and she's going to unleash them. I thought that was cool.
Okay. Well, I honestly didn't think that she wasn't endless. I thought she was just searching for the Endless. So that's my bad. Boss fight. What did you think of this one? For starters, for me, this felt like a legitimate boss fight where it did feel like it was the end boss fight. Still not, you know, as difficult as it could be. However, like, I did find some issues with it and it was a good, like, I think this is what the Eshram boss fight should have been. And then this one could even have been a level up of that.
Yeah, this was a good boss fight. I completely agree. Like, one thing I kept looking at is like on the walls, as she's going through this ceremony, which obviously she's protected because she's shielded and all that stuff, you see the, like these hieroglyphics of like little, I guess they're endless people appearing. Did you notice that on the wall? And I just, yeah, I kept looking at it. I'm like, oh, is there more like as time passes? Yes, there is. And then I would just get knocked by a brute and I'm like, oh crap, this is a boss fight. So like there were things like that were grabbing my attention for the wrong reasons. And then that like the brutes with the hammers again.
Yes.
They're very annoying. And the flying guys, the nightmare guy, the guys that remind me of the nightmare scene from Batman versus Superman, they are super annoying. Super annoying. Like, there were close calls in this fight for me.
Her teleporting was the most frustrating part for me. I died quite a bit to her just all out, like, pummeling me because I couldn't get away in time. I think that's the most important thing is you kind of have to, like, take your shots and then leave. Because if you stay around too long, she'll get you eventually. And you need to have like some sort of like, you have to have a distance away from her. But it's hard because she teleports even closer to you. But there are instances where she teleports back. And then that's where you can get her. Unless she teleports too far away. Then my guns, which I used a lot of like the heat waves and a lot of the energy guns, they didn't have that range. So it was definitely hard.
No, yeah. I was just going to say, because you need her to be like a certain distance, not too far back, but then she's a bit clingy. So like if you move in, she moves in like 10 times and you're like, whoa, overstepping boundaries here.
There was an instance where I froze and I had to do the whole cutscene and all that over again. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So that happened.
Oh, no. I'm sorry you experienced that.
And then I had another situation, just like in the twins, the brothers, which was probably, that was my most difficult boss fight in the whole game anyway. So just like in that fight, I died at 1%. Like the Harbinger was at 1%.
Oh.
And she like attached, she like did like some like karate chop judo moves on me. She was difficult. So I give them that. And I wonder what the fight is on legendary mode. So that's what I always think about.
Yeah.
A lot of these fights, and I know a lot of people play on harder difficulty. They must have a difficult time. Because again, most of these boss fights in this game, as normal player, pretty easy. This one, the brothers are two of the hardest ones. Eshram's okay. But this one for me, like I definitely died 7, 8, 9 times.
Yeah. Harbinger. And because, again, it's when she doesn't charge at you, but she just appears in front of you. Also freaks me out. So then I like spaz out and I panic and died as well a few times. But yeah, I think you just have to just keep hitting her and trying to get a little bit of distance between you and her throughout.
I did think there was going to be like with Eshram, right? She has shields as well. But this time around, weapon just deactivates them. And then we basically have to wait.
Which is like, why didn't you do that before? Anyways.
Good point.
I'm just mad at Weapon for not knowing what the silent auditorium
really
was
salty.
Before.
You're
I'm
really
sorry.
Salty at Weapon. So yeah, our main takeaway is you have to be quick. Get your shots in. Get out as quick as possible. Use your grapple shot. And try to get some ammo. Because it's definitely hard to, especially when there's a bunch of enemies, waves and waves of enemies that are coming after you. But once you do beat her, you hit, of course, that cutscene, that end cutscene.
You have what you need. Tell them, I am sorry it took so long.
Who's she talking to?
Unknown. The signal's old, like really old.
My time is ended. Yours too. They will make sure.
We need extraction.
Of course you do. On my way.
The Endless will return.
I couldn't decrypt it in time.
It's okay. You'll figure something out.
Of course I will. They'll pair you with another AI. Maybe even another Cortana model if Halsey lets them. It won't be me. But you know that, right? But that doesn't matter. It's just another echo. She's right, John. Just another echo. Sorry, I'm messing with you. I just had a feeling that's what she would say. Do you see what I see? So much potential. I'm sorry. I didn't have long to plan this. A few milliseconds, really. I hope it worked out. Look at us. We just keep saying goodbye, don't we? But this isn't an end. It's a chance to make amends, to rectify mistakes. And it starts here. I was wrong.
I love that. it was funny, though. I did laugh. But I really like this moment, too, because it was sweet between Master Chief and, like, Cortana and getting that final goodbye, which I think for him was closure more than it was for me, because we got so long throughout the game to say goodbye to Cortana or to understand what happened after. But we were still seeing that Master Chief was yearning for that moment, right? Because he was then facing regret himself. So I really thought that was cool that they were able to include that in there. But again, at this moment, when I was watching it for the first time, I was just kind of like, I still don't understand the shift in Cortana's mindset. That was still weighing on me a bit. Like, I don't understand why it was, and I'm guessing the game saying like John was just enough that reminder. Although this was supposed to be a really impactful and emotional moment, which it was a little emotional for me and probably for people who've played Halo before, fans of the series, I still think I was wanting more here.
Speaking of wanting more, we learned nothing of the Harbinger.
What? Endless. I just taught you the Endless were judged by the Forerunners. Trapped in like a prison. Harbinger was supposed to. I just gave you.
I understand that, but I wanted more. I thought something was going to happen. Okay, I thought Endless were going to show up. I thought whatever it is, like, and she says the Endless have been found. So where are they? I haven't found them. Where are they, Kim? I need to know. I need answers.
I mean, Harbinger was talking to someone else.
She was.
Right?
Yes. She said it was, what was it? Weapon said it was like an old, and it was super old or outdated or some crap like that.
Yes. Yes. And then, you know, they kind of, when you escape and you're back on Zeta Halo and you hear Echo kind of talking to you, it's been 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
We were just in there for 2 seconds. Yes. Right? So then it's like, can Harbinger see through time, or is this artifact like, time portal of some sort? I don't know. So for me, it's like, I think the mysteries of who the Harbinger is, who the Endless, maybe that's the next chapter for Halo.
What she was saying too, like, but then Weapon ends up saying like the Banished and Harbinger have never found what they're looking for. The Forerunners hid something and threw away the key. Should we be worried? And then John's like, nah, whatevs. But like, okay.
Yo, I just saved Zeta Halo, right? Give me a break. It's vacation time.
there's something there. But again, like this, if this is all that everything was built up for, I'm disappointed. We went all this way, and then like I thought like maybe we defeat the Harbinger, and then the Endless are found, and we have some like Endless super boss we have to fight, and then that ends the game. Wouldn't that make sense?
Yes, but in true Halo form, if you play this game through on Legendary, you unlock a legendary ending, which is a little bit different.
Why did you tell me this,
Nick,
ever?
Had nothing about. What? So let's pause here. So it's like a minute 20. Uh-huh. I'm going to send you the link for it because
there's a different ending.
It's the same ending, but there's a little add-on.
Echo also tells us his name, which is Fernando Esparza, but Weapon might also have a name. And well.
And what about you?
What about me?
What do I call you?
Any ideas?
Well, Do you think it would be okay? You're sure?
You get to choose your name.
Then I think I might have the perfect one.
All right. Here we go. Get ready.
I see what you did there, by the way. And Weapon, well. And then she says, well. Very clever.
Super lame. Thank you. But super lame that it's like, all right, so we had this whole storyline that Cortana turned evil. Then she became good again. But we have a copy of Cortana named Weapon. And then it's this corny cutscene where she's like, I have an idea of what my name should be if you're okay with it, John. And John's like, yes, because I love Cortana, so I want to name you Cortana now. And it's just, what? That is the lamest, lame of lames. Yeah. I hated it.
I know. I wish she would have had like another name.
Yeah, say another name, something else.
Something else, especially because Cortana, I feel, is different than Weapon in personality, even though she's an exact copy in look, you know? But I feel like they are two different personalities. It's like Cortana point one ended now and we have Cortana point two. No, or 2.0. I don't like it. I didn't like it. I thought it was really weird. And then she doesn't actually say it. That was the weird thing because we all know she's going to say Cortana.
That would have been more corny if she said Cortana.
No, I would have rather that. I think I would have rather that than it just been like, well.
I am disappointed. I am by that ending. Like, it's just like,
yeah.
Let's discuss it more after this. But that's it for the game. We wrapped up. We beat everything. Not on legendary mode, but we'll talk more about that and the confusion of maybe a secret cutscene after the break. We break it all down on AutoSave. Welcome back, and Cam, the secret ending, which apparently we discussed this off air in a heated debate, but there's a legendary ending, okay, where we see a new banished character, although I don't know if you know it's someone new. Is it someone else? Is it someone we know? I don't know. This is my first Halo game.
Wasn't that Atriox?
That was not Atriox. Was it?
Yeah. Legit, I think Atriox.
I gotta Google that. That's Atriox, so he's alive?
That's the whole thing.
Wow, so this really is. No, it's not Atriox, is it?
Yes.
Atriox.
I thought.
Legendary ending. You know what? This is all I wanna keep. Oh, so it is Atriox.
Yes!
Wow, that changes everything for me. Oh my god. See, this is what happens, and this is a genuine moment, so keep this all in for the show, but this is what happens when you jump into a series that you have no idea about.
Wait, but they introduced okay, you know what? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here, because
he always had paint on his
2 seconds.
He always had paint on his face.
And also, he had like 2 seconds at the beginning of this.
Yes.
Before he died.
And every other time is like holograms.
Exactly. So that's fair. You know, are you trying to say all the banished look the same, Nick? Is that what you're trying to say?
I thought he had face paint on him, okay? But he didn't have face paint on this
fair,
one.
Fair. But this is Atriox. This is Atriox in this legendary ending that if you beat the game on legendary, then you see this additional cutscene at the end of the game. And I think maybe now if you've played the game, I think like you on whatever mode, you're just going to unlock it because the game's been out for some time. But this to me was the most exciting thing because firstly, you see Atriox and he's about to open up Pandora's box. Now linking that to how is Atriox alive, right? I thought Atriox was dead, as everybody else. But where is Atriox, or when is Atriox?
Ooh, when is
Atriox the person that the Harbinger was talking to? So was the Harbinger actually working with the Banished?
See, now this makes the ending way more satisfying for me because now I know it was Atriox and this whole thing makes more sense. I just thought because Eshram had said when he died, another banished will come and take my place. So I thought, oh, okay, this is some other banished who found some sort of power that has something to do with the Endless. No idea it was Atriox, but now this kind of gives more meat on the bones of all of this stuff. So I apologize for all my statements of this entire show.
You had me doubting. I was like, wait, that is Atriox, right? Yeah.
Okay. So with that being said now, what are your overall thoughts of this game, including that ending? I'm going to first off say they spent too much time at the end of this game setting up the next game. So instead of giving us a more satisfying ending to this, where there was a lot of mystery and things were, you know, shrouded and kind of like misty. We didn't really know. Everything was clouded. We didn't really know what was going on, which intrigued me because it seemed like some sort of mystery. I don't think there was a big payoff. But then at the end, now I'm starting to realize is they spent more time in the last few missions trying to build up the next game.
Really? So, okay. Because I do like when games give you teases in terms of like what will happen next. And for me, it was just like this reveal made me feel a lot more excited than I have in previous chapters because Eshram was actually one of the characters I loved the most in this game and his story arcs and how he was, his characterizations, his background. So then going into the Banished were really interesting for me in this story, especially. Which is surprising because we've seen the Banished so much that it's like you think I'd get tired of it, but I wasn't because they just made it a little bit more interesting because I thought the Harbinger was like just throwing the Banished in for a loop this whole time, right? Like she was actually really working with the Banished to bring her people, the Endless, back. Just Eshram had no idea. The Atriox was like, let Eshram just do his own thing while we work on the big project here, right? So for me, I like that. I thought it was a great way to pique that interest again. But yeah, like there is that this story about Master Chief and like Cortana still was a little bit lackluster for me because I wanted more. And because of that, I understand what you're saying, but then I am also now going to play the next game because of this reveal at the end. And then also look at all that. I think all those tombs or prison cells that the Endless were being held in, I thought that looked really cool. So then I'm excited to see the Endless hopefully in the next game.
I feel bad for Eshram because he was really cut up about losing Atriox. So I think he genuinely did think he was
like
dead,
psych.
Right? Which, well, like, obviously, but there's some time travel involved, so we're not sure. But again, like the Harbinger, that fight was only to bring up the next part of this series. And that's why I'm frustrated with that. Just give me a satisfying ending, and then you can give me the teases involved. Like that, teases are easy to put in there.
Mm. But do you think you'd feel the same if it was that you had more closure with Cortana and Master Chief and Eshram, then Harbinger was still, the mystery was still lingering about what was happening with her people, the Endless?
I just want more. I want more information on the Endless, but I guess that makes sense. Not if there's a whole arc with Atriox, you know, probably unlocking these secrets or whatever it is. Also, poor Cortana, who died to kill Atriox, and he's
just alive. He's chilling. But if he time traveled, is he really alive? Is he?
I don't know.
Or is he? I don't know.
All I know is once you get into the time travel realm, you can never get out of it because it's a sticky mud of time travel, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey kind of stuff. Okay. That's a good place to wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Autosave. Thank you for going along the journey with us on this Halo campaign. We have one more episode, which is multiplayer, episode 10. We'll talk about that and if I'm a fan of that or I'm going to be more of a hater. And Camille is going to be more of a defender of the Halo series. We'll find out next time on Autosave.